Colorado Springs is in an odd place where there's not a lot of water here. It is a beautiful place for a city, but it's not set up water-wise. And the fact that we aren't doing gray water right now completely baffles me.
Next on Peak Environment.
This is Studio 809 Podcasts, informing, connecting, and empowering the residents of the Pikes Peak region.
Welcome to Peak Environment, a Studio 809 community podcast in the Pikes Peak region. We are recording today at the Next Us, a community cooperative in downtown Colorado Springs. I'm your host today, Allie Richardson from Pikes Peak Permaculture. Pikes Peak Permaculture is an educational nonprofit serving the Southern Colorado region, teaching permaculture design. Permaculture is a way of designing systems that work with nature, not against it. It's rooted in three core ethics and a set of guiding principles that help us design resilient, regenerative solutions in any climate, strengthening our connection to the land and all who live here, restoring our water, soil, and food systems, and ensuring this region can thrive for generations. We work with community members, schools, and many other organizations to further promote permaculture design for the Pikes Peak region and beyond. To learn more about our programs, visit pikespeakpermaculture.org. Imagine discovering that the water flowing from your tap isn't at all local, gathered from distant sources and delivered from miles and miles across infrastructure. That revelation pushed me to explore how we can use water wisely, regenerate our region, and live in step with nature's boundaries. Today's topic is gray water. It really follows along with permaculture design principles, especially because we're creating spaces where we have no waste, spaces where we capture and store energy around us, like water, which is our limiting factor, especially this year. Today, talking with me about gray water is Joe Petchy. Joe is a community leader here in the region, connecting neighbors and communities. He uses gardening and sustainability as common ground for connection. In 2023, he went to Pikes Peak Permaculture's fair, and he learned from vendors and activists, ended up buying a biochar kiln, and began repairing his soil in his own garden space. In 2025, Joe signed up for the permaculture design course with our organization, and that experience led him to dive deeper into water, specifically gray water. Earlier this year, Joe and I actually went up to Denver and completed a quail gray water and irrigation certification course. Since then, Joe told me he's been focused on one question. How much greener can our landscapes be if we reused our water? Thanks for coming in, Joe, and talking with me about this really important topic.
Thanks, Allie. I'm so excited to discuss more about this with you.
Would you like to share with the listening audience any more about yourself?
Yeah. When I came to Colorado, I noticed a lot of the landscapes were with rocks or brown. And I thought, you know, how do we get this greener? And looking at all the water runoff from stormwater, looking at all the different designs of sprinklers, I thought there must be a better way.
Yeah.
There must be a better solution. And that's been where I've been focused in the past few years.
Well, I'm glad you found permaculture.
It's wonderful design, yeah.
When you started taking the course, is that the first time that you actually heard the word gray water?
No, I've heard of gray water, and I've used my own shower water, you know, before I take a shower to water my lawn or water my plants. And I understand this is gray water, although it's not truly mixed with any soaps or anything like that. But I am reusing my own water in my yard and in my home.
Right, because every drop from that tap is a resource, and it's quite precious out here. As I said, it's a limiting factor in our region. A lot of people don't realize that we don't have a water source in our region, so it's really important. We're using it so beneficially because it's not even a part of our landscape naturally. You know, in case anybody's wondering where our water comes from, you know, 60 to 70%, or probably likely more this year, comes from 175 miles away from the Colorado River. That's a three-hour car ride. 17% comes from Pikes Peak Snowmelt, not this year. Arkansas River, we get some of that through the Southern Delivery System. That was what needed to be done, pumped up from the Arkansas Pueblo Reservoir so we could make sure that Bannon Lewis, that whole huge division, had water. There's all of these sources that are coming, transbasin water sources that are coming to our region, and this is through cost, you know, infrastructure. So for us to now understand that, like when you turn that tap on,
it's important.
It's important that we see this as my precious, you know, like we have to be very careful with it. And like you said, when it's running off the stormwater, we should be capturing and storing this. This is an energy that creates these greener spaces, that creates life for all of the other critters that are here as well, not just us.
Yeah, the transbasin water just is so far away and it's pumped over here. And fortunately, once it's pumped here, we can reuse it to extinction, right? So we can continue to reuse that water, which is a really nice benefit.
Right. And the water usage that sometimes we're using now, I don't necessarily find the most appropriate. So I would like for people to start thinking about their water usage. Where is a large amount of water being used at your home? Irrigate your outside landscape, right? Mm-hmm. This landscape that most people are irrigating around here. Well, Joe, what would you call it? Would you call it edible?
Non-edible, no. Turf grass.
Right. Yeah. Which is inappropriate for a desert climate.
Right. And yeah. In the summertime, 50% of our water use is for irrigation. Right. We're just dumping water onto our lawns that we could be drinking, expensive water that we could be drinking.
It just makes sense to start thinking about these solutions that could be benefiting us.
Yeah. And to add, looking at gray water use for residential indoor water use, about 20% is used through the shower. If you add in your clothes washer and your bathroom sink, you're at 40% of your normal household use. If we can reuse that water for our plants and our irrigation, that's so much water that we don't have to pull in from the system.
Right. But water is so cheap. That's what I hear people say, water is so inexpensive.
Right. Yeah, well, it is. I mean, it is a human right to have water, to bathe, to clean things. It's a necessary thing, so the price can't be outrageous. And that is kind of a dilemma because the Colorado River doesn't have enough to supply us and all of the surrounding states with water. The Colorado Compact was created over 100 years ago on the basis that there was more water than it actually provides. Colorado River provides the upper and lower a certain amount of acre feet per year. We also have to share that with Mexico. And what we're finding this year and in many years in the past, that there's just not enough. And so we have to tap our bank accounts, our reservoirs of Lake Mead and Lake Powell. But currently, those are at extreme levels. Mm-hmm. We can't pull any more water from that. That also means that we won't be able to produce electricity. The hydro dams will have to stop working. There's going to be problems with those if this drought continues and if our current water use continues.
Are you telling me that we need more outreach to the public to say, hey, you need to be a more ethical human and use less water?
Yeah, that'd be great. I think the people want to do it. Yeah. I think the people of the city are environmentally conscious, especially here in Colorado Springs. They want to do it, but they can't. The Colorado Springs has made that impossible.
Well, in permaculture, we always say the problem is the solution. We have a problem right now with water, and the solution is gray water. One solution, right?
That's right.
So I'm sure everybody's eager to hear, what is gray water, Joe? Can you tell us what gray water is?
Yeah.
Is it really ew?
Let's talk about gray water. It's water that's touched a little bit of soap. This is not coming out of your kitchen sink. Gray water is not the toilet water. Those are black water items. But your shower, your laundry machine, your bathroom sink are all great examples of gray water. This can be reused. We can use biodegradable soaps.
You mean biodegradable soaps if you're doing laundry?
Yeah, and on the body too.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. And there are several, I believe, that are out there. Oasis, I think Art Ludwig, he had created a soap that's pretty great as far as like you can use it on your body, your dishes, you can use it in the laundry. But ideally, you just don't want these to be salt, right? You don't want to bring salt out to your plants because that'll right. kill them.
Yeah, that's the biggest point is you can look on the label of your products and see the sodium content. If sodium is listed as the first ingredient, that could be a problem. But ultimately, a lot of these brands, like you mentioned, Oasis, some of the next generation, third generation, some of the other products are known good natural detergents and soaps for the body.
What did the state do specifically that kind of put these safety concerns into legislation? How did they adopt gray water? Because it started at the state level first. Mm-hmm. And then went to an opt-in, opt-out system for local jurisdictions?
Yeah, that's a great question, Ellie. Colorado set up the framework for a proper way to do gray water for public health, for health of our landscapes. You know, you mentioned setbacks, safety to your neighbors. And this is important as well because Regulation 86 states proper setbacks from your property line. And we put gray water into mulch basins so that it can decompose and return back to the natural state in the ground.
Yeah, and the Regulation 86 Joe's talking about was passed through Colorado State in 2015. It was adopted by the Water Quality Commission. And this basically set the standards for gray water for non-drinking purposes, just to encourage the use of gray water. The state wants us to reuse water, but they also put this in place to protect the public health and the water quality.
Why are the people concerned about the water? Because the Colorado Compact is failing. We don't have enough water to supply to everybody. It's becoming a legal battle. Yeah, this state regulation is great because it's setting us up to adhere to the Colorado Compact. We all need to reuse water. And at the beginning, it was an opt-in situation where they set it up as different jurisdictions having the option to do gray water. And then in January of 2026, the state said, now it's an opt-out. So what that means is if you don't have a policy in place, then you're automatically in and you would automatically follow the rules that are set up in Regulation 86.
The code's already written.
The code's written. It's been around. Gray water's been around for a long time. We're not the first state to do this. It's pretty well known how to do it safely. And it's pretty well known of the beneficial outcomes from this.
2015, that was 11 years ago. So that was given the state jurisdictions and cities and counties 11 years to get their stuff together and adopt these. And I've read several jurisdictions are working together. It sounds like Denver wants to help, Pueblo wants to help. So there are resources for city. We've also, you and I have also been in contact with the city and then are trying to get them to see this because Colorado Springs opted out in November of 2025. El Paso County opted out shortly after that in December of 2025. So right now, listeners, I know this sounds wonderful, but you can't have it just yet. We'll get to where you can help in just a moment. But I just want to say that the other cities and municipalities that have adopted this are all around us. Denver, Castle Rock, Pitkin County, Golden, Colorado. They have a really beautiful inspection system that we can talk about here soon. Fort Collins, Thornton, Broomfield, Jefferson County. The list goes on.
I want to add Chaffee County to the list because Chaffee County is a really ideal use case. They sent an employee to Denver to take the same certification class that we took. The QEL certification started from various counties in California who partnered together to provide solutions for water use efficiency. The Quell certification lays the foundation for how to do gray water safely and correctly. So these Chaffee County employees took that information back from the class. They took back some legislation. They took back their knowledge and wrote a basic code. They have a really good framework that can be used throughout the state to show any specifics that they need to call out for their jurisdiction, to then reference any other codes that have been set up by the state of Colorado. State of Colorado, again, as you said, has already set this up. They've done the work. We just need to adopt it. Different cities around the state. In Chaffee County, they've specifically said A and B types of gray water systems are allowed, and for C, those gray water systems are for new construction only.
A systems allow gray water sources from laundry machines. B systems allow gray water collected from bathroom and laundry room sinks, bathtubs, showers. And your C allows for gray water use from bathroom and laundry room sinks, bathroom showers, and laundry machines.
That goes into your toilet.
Yep, indoor toilet and urinal flushing. So again, this, like you were saying, is new construction only.
Which makes a lot of sense.
Right.
Because nobody's going to reroute their plumbing in their existing home to pump it back to their toilets to reuse it that way. This is great. Chaffee County has really set up the framework for those A and B installations. Denver has also added part of their code to allow Quell certified installers, irrigation installers, to pull a permit for this. Homeowners can pull a permit for this. So it makes it more accessible to everyday users to reuse their water in their landscape.
So those listening today, go to studio809podcast.com, find Peak Environment podcast that we're recording today, look at the show notes, and I'll have Chaffee County's information there so you can go ahead and read it. Go ahead and pause, read, come back. So why was it banned, Joe? Why was it? Why didn't they adopt? I think I read somewhere that they opted out because of the inspection capacity, or that they lack a good reuse plan from regional agencies. But we just listed several municipalities that would come in to help them. So what do you think the real hiccup here is?
That's a good question, Allie. And it's hard for me to know. I sent an email to my city councilwoman, and she responded with two main reasons. The first reason is the opt-out is because Colorado Springs Utilities already has a versatile water reuse program. And that may be so. It services about 30 customers. Most of them are Colorado Springs parks. And in reading the annual statements from the Parks and Rec Department, about 10% of the water that they use for their turf grass is reused water, non-potable water. The second reason she stated is a retrofit is costly. And to be fair, that's really up to the individual. You know, if they want to spend their money, I don't understand why a city councilwoman is saying that it's too expensive, they're not going to do it. We look at solar. The same thing happened with solar. All of the residents wanted to help the grid and bring energy back. And CSU responded with heavy fees for solar users connecting back to the grid. Here we have a similar situation that users are wanting to reuse their water. They want to be water wise, but we're just simply not given that option. And I think her two reasons aren't really true reasons. That doesn't make sense for me as a water customer.
When I first found out about Denver's gray water installation program, I didn't understand about the opt-in, opt-out program. I just thought, oh, it was state passed. I should go do this. I can do a system in my yard. I don't know what their hiccups were with adopting for Denver, but I do recall that someone saying that they had over 100 systems that were installed before adoption. And I'm making this mention of that because I think it's important for our city to adopt. People are going to start doing these systems regardless. And if they're not done correctly, then it does become a public health concern. It does become a concern for your neighbors or for backflow. So it's really important for us to move forward with this, adopting this and letting the professionals come in there and install these systems.
That's a really good point, Allie. I think Denver realized that many systems were being done under the table and they wanted to do the right thing and make it available for their customers. They wanted to see it done correctly. They can be in control having the permit process. And even though there's not a ton of people running to the permit office to do these installations, Denver County and Denver City are doing the right thing to allow water conservation.
Great research around it too. When we did the certification, we got to go visit CSU Spur, which they're doing a lot of work right now with gray water, different types of systems. They have a commercial system there, which is really amazing to see.
It's a good demonstration site. They were enticing their employees that work at the CSU Spur campus to come shower at their facility because all of the showers and all of the bathroom sinks are dumping into their gray water system. And they take that water off site and do additional analysis. They're doing the research that shows that this is safe and effective.
These systems are not just residential, which that makes sense for new builds. I really do agree. Infrastructure for retrofitting is harder. Like you said, people are willing to do it. They have these, you know, systems in universities, but we could also do that in our universities and show students who are young the potential of what their future could look like, because this is going to be a solution that's going to be needed for the next generation.
Right. Yeah, you've really hit the point there. Is we need to show it so that in new construction, people want it, right? If we start implementing it in various retrofitted systems now, students, adults, everybody can see how effective it is in watering our plants, our trees, our shrubs. Then this will become a movement, and in new construction, people are going to create bigger systems, right? They're going to make more of an impact. This startup buffer zone that we're in right now, we need to make that available so that we can get to bigger projects.
The information's there.
Yeah.
It's there. All there. Yes.
The research is there.
Right. And there's other research going out. We had a podcast, Douglas County came down, about biochar. There's some really wonderful things. Again, I'll put them in the show notes. But there's a lot of research out there right now that's showing how biochar can actually help with gray water systems. You know, these are options that we can have for future builds in big universities or such, and have the kids actually doing the research as well.
Yeah. I mean, when they're remodeling a university building, or they're building a new structure on campus, it should be gray water first. We need to reuse this water and show in different swales. We could have a gray water garden, for example, having the water come out of the building and watering the plants outside of the university. That would be beautiful.
Right. And these systems are subsurface, so you don't have contact with the water. So again, they're safe.
Right. That's a good point. And we can talk about the different tiers of gray water systems here. The first most basic system would be a gravity fed system. Generally speaking, we would do a laundry to landscape where the laundry system would have a drain out into the yard. It would run through 1-inch irrigation pipe and have a downward slope. So gravity fed, there's nothing to blow out. There's low maintenance, and it's fed into a 1 foot by 1 foot by 15 feet, maybe 7 feet basin that is filled with mulch. So we would dig a trench in the yard. This would be near our trees or shrubs that we want to water. And the emitter, the water coming out, would be 2 inches below the surface of the ground, which ensures there's no contact with humans. It ensures it stays below ground, and the mulch basin kind of absorbs the ickies, all the extra stuff in the water. The second system would be a branch drain whole house system, where we would put a simple filter on the water coming from the home, and then we would send it out to our irrigation pipes in the same fashion. Here we would have multiple tees in the irrigation pipe so that we could spread it around to more locations since there's a higher volume of gray water. But we could also pump it into a temporary holding tank and get it up to a higher elevation. And then the final style of gray water would be more complicated. You would take all of that gray water, treat it, and then pump it back into your house to reuse in the black water system. So your toilet could flush gray water instead of flushing potable water. And with this system, there's a bit of a treatment process. There's filtration that happens, and then chlorine is added and purple dye is added. So now in your toilet, everybody will know you have gray water because gray water is signaled by the color purple.
That was good to mention. Yeah, purple.
Yeah.
Which makes sense because people don't realize when you see at golf courses a purple piping.
Different parks around Colorado Springs, and you see a purple cover, you know that's non-potable water. It's super cool to see it around, that we do have a nice reuse system. But I think it comes down to the city not wanting to allow the residents to use the gray waters because it interferes with their own reuse system. Colorado Springs' reuse program is very costly. It's costly to lay new pipe to pipe this reused water into different parks, into different places. So if it's expensive to expand their reuse program, are they actually going to do that? I was speaking with folks from Colorado DNR, and they called this gray water use de minimis. And to explain de minimis, it's lacking significance or importance, so minor it can be disregarded. Mm-hmm. I think the state DNR people are looking at it in the same way as the rainwater barrel legislation. Having residents around collecting two rain barrels worth of rainwater is de minimis to the overall water plan. Here, they're also stating that gray water is de minimis to the overall reuse plan. So it becomes extremely helpful if our residents can do this, and really it doesn't affect their overall goals.
You mean the city's overall goals?
Yeah, Colorado Springs right. Utilities.
Mm-hmm. One thing I think we should also consider too with the water that's going back to our sewer, you know, our wastewater, essentially, this wastewater is actually going to a waste treatment center. And before it gets brought back to the rivers, it's being treated first. Mm. So that is an expense.
Right.
The more we build, the more we expand in our region, the more wastewater effluent comes into these systems, these flows, it increases. When we had the Banning Lewis neighborhood, when that was built, that's when the southern delivery system started to come in play, and that water is being pumped up to the eastern side of Colorado Springs. Mm-hmm. They did not have the wastewater treatment structure in place, and the effluent coming from that neighborhood was too much for the regular infrastructure. And so Colorado Springs told the builders, you're going to have to build a waste treatment facility, and the builders were not wanting to do that. Then Colorado Springs ended up paying for the infrastructure, but had Banning Lewis had maybe a pilot program where they had some of that wastewater maybe diverted to the landscape, mm-hmm. That could have been a reduced cost for the city, extremely reduced cost for the city. They wouldn't have probably had to build that $1 million facility,
right?
To be able to take this one neighborhood's water back to the treatment facility. So
That's really an ideal point. We have all of this new construction happening, and we could take each home and have a dedicated gray water line coming out. We would have a dedicated black water line going to the sewer, and that gray water line can be used for irrigation. All of the homes in that area, all of that water could be dumped into a central location. They could have reed filtration, have a basic wetlands setup, and then that water can be pumped back into the irrigation system for their plants. So each home would be contributing to its own water landscape irrigation. This would greatly reduce, as you're talking about, the wastewater and all of the energy that's consumed to filter our water out.
Right. And then you think about it too, there's other applications that this water collection could do, like fire mitigation.
Yeah.
If we could have some storage of gray water for, you know, instead of just using potable water, I mean, it just makes sense. It's another beneficial use.
That's a wonderful beneficial use. If we got communities together to all pump their gray water for fire mitigation, yeah, why are we spending money on potable water to put out fires?
Yes, and gray water systems, they can be directed out to food. We mentioned trees, but other crops too, not root crops, but things that are out on the surface. Give me an example of some food crops that we probably can bring this out to.
Tomatoes would be great. You know, all of our bushes and shrubs that we can water would be great. Mm-hmm. Like you said, carrots aren't going to work out so well. That's actually in the code that says the root vegetables cannot be watered. Yeah, that's a good point. The tomatoes, all of your beans, anything that's above the surface can be watered by gray water. And so my garden can flourish with all of the laundry that I'm doing to grow my own food.
Right. I just had family in, and after washing sheets and towels and blankets, I went through probably like 10 loads. And then I was just thinking to myself, goodness, my apricot would have really loved all that water.
Indeed. All of our fruit trees would be great. And that's really the ideal space is if there are other sources of water outside of gray water, we're looking at storm water, we're looking at rainwater. The woody plants, the trees and the shrubs are ideal when there is a possibility for contamination. And this is a little bit off topic, but the stormwater, if we're concerned about a little bit of oil or grease coming into the water, these fruit trees have shown to not uptake these heavy metals and these things and bring them into the fruit. So for that instance, gray water is ideal for these plants. We're in a completely safe scenario and beneficial to our plants. The additional thing that I like about this process is that now I have a watering system. I don't have to think about watering my fruit trees anymore. I know that I'm going to do laundry every other day. I know that I'm going to have enough gray water to supply to my vegetation. So I don't need an irrigation control system. I don't need another system. This is my irrigation system, gray water.
Yeah, and I'm glad you did bring up stormwater, because stormwater harvesting, you know, curb cuts and bringing that water that's running from the street into an area that can be flooded safely and create rain gardens is essential. I think the state really wants us to do this. They want us to hold the water on the landscape. This is at least what I was hearing during the quill certification, like that we need to find ways to be really efficient with the water. And I love that you think of water as sentient, as conscious. And I think that a lot of countries are starting to understand that we do need more rights for water, just as we're doing with trees. Canada, I think it was Quebec, they just passed a law that trees are considered sentient and they're protecting them now, which is beautiful.
Yeah, Dr. Enomoto has shown through his research that water carries consciousness.
Yes.
And he's done many experiments where he will play beautiful music and then look at these water molecules under a microscope. And they are beautiful. They are very symmetrical. They are pleasing to look at. he's done other experiments with rice and water and fermenting that rice with pleasurable music versus ignoring the water. And the water that is ignored has a foul smell. This has been reproduced over and over again. I think it's pretty clear that water carries consciousness.
Well, we're mistreating it right now, and look at the situation we're in.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's the best way to say it.
Huh. Yeah. So being really conscious about your water usage, even if you're not doing a gray water system, as Joe said, just think about your water usage. You did when you were younger. Mm-hmm. What do they say when you're brushing your teeth? Turn the water off, right?
Yeah.
Like, these are like little things that you were taught, and it was for a reason. And as we grow as a population, it just becomes more and more important that we all jump on board.
It all matters. Even the smallest little things, like you said, affect the whole. If we do these small steps, the outcome will become larger.
So what small step could a listener today do, Joe, that would help Colorado Springs adopt gray water, help us rehydrate the landscape, get it back green, growing food for all, not just ourselves, but for, you know, for other creatures out there?
Yeah, that's a great question, Allie. Head over to peacheswater.com, because I'm starting a petition to let the city know that our residents want to do this. Mm-hmm. At Peaches Water, the whole idea is using gray water to irrigate our fruit trees.
You want to make it accessible for people.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
You want people to be, yeah, you don't want this to be secret. We want people to know about it. We want to help them.
Right. Yeah, this is a way to conserve water that we're not utilizing right now. And think about all of the laundry that you're doing, anywhere from 10 to 25 gallons per load of laundry. I would feel wonderful if I could reuse that on my landscape. We're all being water conscious, so let's tell the city that we want to be water conscious. Our friend Bradley White has been trying to do this for a number of years. He's looking for supporters, and when we stepped in and said, oh, you're doing this too, and found that Bradley's been doing this for years, the revolution is growing, right? And we need your support to show that this is what we want to do. We, as people, care about our water. And so, essentially, we have to petition the city move forward with this. They're not interested. In my recent email to Nancy, my city councilwoman, she stated that the current climate, the stars are not aligned for gray water use. And I found that to be very sad, and don't understand why the stars aren't aligned in this low water year. We're essentially in a drought, fire restrictions, watering restrictions. But if we were allowed to reuse our gray water, our plants could still be green. Our landscapes would be less susceptible to fire damage. And in my mind, this is a win-win situation.
Right. So again, head to peacheswater.com to find that. It'll also be in the show notes.
Yeah.
That's great. Thanks for getting that started, Joe.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're not mad at you, Colorado Springs. We just want you to get this going, and we're here to help. We're here to help. So are other departments. Denver, they're ready to help too.
Yeah. There's a lot of assistance out there, especially from the state. As we have already discussed, there's regulations in place, but more importantly, there's a lot of grants available. And a city such as Colorado Springs could apply to these grants for funding to pay for the legislation and pay for all of the necessary legalese permitting this types of things.
Well, I know I'm past my fingers and toes right now with how many people want a system, and they're willing to pay. They're willing to pay to retrofit, you know,
right.
Even if the return isn't there, they're like, this is the ethical thing. We have the resources available to help.
Yeah.
We could help direct Colorado Springs utilities to the resources that they need to get this going.
Yeah. And you bring up the point that people want to do it. People are waiting for the okay to do this.
new builds going forward. So there are grant opportunities out there. There are people that are moving here that might be like, wow, this is a really cool system. I really liked that house over there that had the gray water system. Mm-hmm. That was just so unique and different, and it would make me feel good to live here in this house.
Yeah. Well, the main feel good is the evaporative transpiration that happens within trees. This process of water uptaking into the roots of the tree through the trunk and out the leaves makes the city, makes your space more humid. And to your point, Allie, is that now it's a little bit more humid, I'm more interested in going out for a walk. This has been shown over and over in Tucson, Arizona, where Brad Lancaster changed a whole neighborhood. Essentially, nobody wanted to walk around. It was blazing hot in the summer, and people stayed at home. He invited people over to do laundry at his place so that he could create more gray water to feed his plants. He used stormwater to redirect that into the boulevard, into the median between the sidewalk and the street. And now there's beautiful native plants growing just from rainwater. The whole neighborhood is walkable because there's shade and because of the additional humidity. This is why people are going to want to stay around Colorado Springs, because we're going to bring these beautiful trees into the tree lawn, into the boulevard, and make our neighborhoods walkable. We have great neighborhoods in Colorado Springs. Yes. We have small businesses spread around, so they're walking distance from our homes to go out to a coffee shop, a bar, a restaurant. And to get there, we want to keep that nice space going. So if we plant more trees and shrubs and create guilds in our space between the sidewalks and the street, we're going to further allow our residents an enjoyable walking experience. Right, a walkable city is a happy city. A bikeable city is a happy city, in my opinion.
And it's all about efficiency, then.
Yeah.
All about resources.
Yeah, and we're not going above and beyond our resources to make this happen. Right, what we're talking about here is just using our available resources. We're not asking for more water from the Colorado River. We're not asking for anything else. We're simply reusing what we have.
We're asking for that water. We're getting the water. We're returning it back to them dirty. But instead, we could have the water, reuse the water, and then put it on the landscape, which most people don't realize. It actually recharges the waterways.
Yeah.
Putting it directly in the river is actually going to just cause erosion and just it's too much flow. Whereas if you're putting it through the groundwater, which our aquifers need, but if we're putting it down in the groundwater, we're actually creating that water table that makes it to the rivers that keeps it flowing.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the water's still getting to the rivers.
Right.
It just may take a little bit longer.
It's the natural way. It's the natural way we should
But
be
I want it right now, Allie.
I know. Instant gratification. Well, sorry, Joe. In permaculture, it's slow and small solutions.
That's right. And another permaculture term is observation, right? And this is a big thing because we have observed gray water systems across the country work efficiently and cause change. And so why can't we do it here today?
We can use and value this renewable resource.
That's right.
Another principle. All right. We won't bore you with all of them. There are many. Please check out permaculture principles. Yeah. So again, we talked about some of the environmental and water conservation benefits of gray water use. It's got such a potential to help reduce strain on municipal water sources, but also help us become another model for the rest of the country who may need this in the future. Our future is not certain, especially with climate change and how things and climates are shifting. But, you know, you brought up a good point. We can create these microclimates, these little areas that flourish and that are lovely to live in. You know, mm-hmm. there were not a lot of trees here, but there were also not a lot of people and pavement. So right. Now we have to plant trees and cover this pavement.
Right. Yeah. What is it called?
The heat island effect.
Yeah, the heat island effect.
Yeah, it's real.
That's what you're talking about.
Yeah. We'll talk about that on another podcast another day.
But also to note that Colorado Springs is in an odd place where there's not a lot of water here. It is a beautiful place for a city, but it's not set up water-wise. And the fact that we aren't doing gray water right now completely baffles me.
Right. Yeah. So I think gray water, again, too, just to kind of wrap it up, it's a way that we can create these landscapes that we live on to be sustainable, to provide cleaner waterways downstream. Gray water also provides a way that, again, we can protect our wildlife habitat and recharge the landscape.
Yeah, and check out peacheswater.com, sign the waiver, learn more about gray water, and get involved.
Thanks, Joe, so much for being here.
Yeah, that's right. Cheers to adoption.
And again, go and sign that petition. Every single person, you listening, share it. Bifurcation method is huge. It's how we get things moving. And if you want Colorado Springs to be a beautiful place, this is one step towards it. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. Thanks for listening to Peak Environment. For more conversations like this one, explore other episodes of Peak Environment at studio809podcast.com.
Hi, I'm Dave Gardner, Chief Podcast Wrangler at Studio 809 Podcasts. We're a collective of podcasters here in the Pikes Peak region committed to having local residents who are better informed and more engaged. You know, most of us volunteer our time. Nobody's really earning any wages working on these podcasts. This is a gift to the community. And one way you can say thank you is to become a patron, providing a little support to help us cover our expenses. You can easily do that by heading over to studio809podcasts.com and clicking on the patron button in the upper right corner. Thanks so much for supporting community.